Luke chapter 2. You know, we celebrate Christmas this time of year because that is our tradition. As you come to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, you find something that makes it kind of hard to be a December birth. Luke 2 and verse 8 says the shepherds were abiding in the field. And that would be highly unusual this time of year. Their weather over there is about like ours is. And so this time of year, they would be drawn in closer to home. But he says in verse 8, they were in the same country. And, you know, we'll talk about the birth of Jesus more next Sunday, but we'll talk about all the surrounding topics leading up to that. In the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields. In the same country, that would be Bethlehem. Abiding in the field. They were out away from home. You know, they would lead their flocks through the valleys and up into the hills. Psalm 23 gives us a great picture of the care of a shepherd. How that a shepherd would stay near them. They know his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." They're very in tune to the shepherd's voice. And another, he says, they will not follow. And so we look at the life of a shepherd, and it helps us to understand these men as they're out there keeping their flocks. I say men, but of course in the scripture, we find on at least two occasions, one with Moses and another with Jacob, where there were women that were serving as shepherds for their father's flocks. But they would be in the fields and traveling from town to town, out and across the prairies and the plateaus. And Jesus, or the psalmist tells us about that, Psalm 23, leading them beside the still waters and preparing the table, you know, a table being a plateau. And they would go in ahead of time and remove the rocks and any poisonous weeds they would find, and they would take care of any serpents. They were always on the watch for lions and predators out in that area. And so they were always trying to protect their flock. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That table that he would, you know, that's a field on a plateau. And he would prepare that knowing that there could be lions and wolves and such as that up in the mountains. And so the care of a shepherd was so important. And, you know, as I look at this, number one, Jesus is born, right? And so we really only have two groups that recognize that. One being the wise men that traveled from a far distance and didn't arrive for probably a couple of years when he was a young boy. But we also, and of course everybody won't say there weren't three. There were three gifts. We don't know how many wise men there were. Could have been two. Could have been 17. I don't know. But there were three gifts that they gave. And then you have the shepherds. Of all the groups that God could have chosen to announce the birth of the Savior, he chose shepherds. And so I thought, I wonder why. But then I thought about it, and I thought, well, Abel, go all the way back to Genesis, Abel was a shepherd. Go on, and you find that Moses was a shepherd. That's where he learned his training. Who else was a shepherd in the Bible? David. Everybody knows David was a shepherd. And so we have the significant, and Abraham, by the way, was a shepherd. So we look at these significant people in the Bible who were shepherds, and it was kind of, to me, it's like God is saying, I'm going to go after these guys because these are good guys. I'm going to let them know. Also, as they traveled from, you know, pasture to pasture, because you couldn't stay any place too long. If they stayed one place too long, those sheep will eat it all up right down to the dirt. And so you had to keep them moving so that they would only graze just what they needed and move along. And then, of course, they would leave behind the manure. As we go to Psalm 23, he said, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And they fertilized every field that so it followed them. You could just about tell where they've been, right? But that's all part of the Psalm 23. And so you had to lead them from place to place. Well, and lead them to place, you'd come across strangers, come across villages, come across towns. And so God gave this message to these shepherds who would be traveling up and through and around Israel and Judea, and they would be able to share this message with all those people. And so that's why it was significant that they would be the ones. It says in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And as we think about an angel, of course, in our minds, because we've been trained that an angel has wings and, just kind of flutters above the earth. No, that's not the case. Every time we see an angel in the Bible, that angel is a man. It is the appearance of a man. In fact, many times when it talked about the angel of the Lord, it was talking about Jesus. But the angel of the Lord here, we would be careful to say it was Gabriel, though most would agree it was Gabriel. He's the one that made the announcement to Mary. This was kind of his territory, and Israel, he was kind of the protector of it. And so Gabriel may be the angel, but it just says the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord showed up. It just came upon them, just walked up on them. And then what happened? There was this bright light, the glory of the Lord. We think about God, the Father. The Bible says they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Why? Because God is spirit. We see the fire in the bush that Moses came to. We see the fire as Elijah is taken up. We see the description of Ezekiel, the fire, the colors, the different colors of energy that are there. We go to the throne of God in the book of Revelation, and we see the energy of God, the light, the brightness. We see Paul on the road, or Saul on the road to Damascus. And what happened? There was this bright, shining light that blinded all of those who were there. And it was noon. The sun was straight up, but this bright light shone right in their face. The presence of God. And so here we are in the middle of the night in the dark, and these shepherds are out there keeping their flocks, and everything. Just imagine yourself in the Bethlehem in the hills of Judea, near Bethlehem, and you can there's pretty much silence, isn't there? Peaceful. Not like here, all you hear is frogs and cicadas, right? Just the peaceful sound, and maybe you'd hear a cricket or a grasshopper or something like that. But here we are in the field, and the sheep are all out there resting for the night, and the shepherds have laid down for the night resting, and up walks this man. And then a blinding light, the glory of the Lord, shone round about them. And they were afraid. No wonder they were afraid. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Of great, think about this, the hope of Israel, what they've been hoping for, praying for, looking for all this time, is finally come. Now, this is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the Son of God. There'll be another 33 years before he's crucified and risen from the grave, before the salvation is paid for, before the salvation is complete. But this is the hope. This is the time. Again, we talked about Joseph being a part of the prophecy. This is the timing. Man, what a time to be alive. Because they're just minding their own business, doing their jobs. They don't know there's any significance about this day. And yet, there has traveled a couple from Nazareth to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, to be counted in the census. And they've traveled there. No fanfare, no announcement, nobody cares. And now a baby's born. And all of heaven rejoices. And an angel is sent, and a host from heaven is sent to announce the birth of a baby. And the birth is announced not to the king, not to the priests, but to the shepherds. The humble man out in the field doing his job. Great joy. And then he says, this message shall be to all people. This joy shall be to all people. This is something that should be shared. Now, one thing about these shepherds that may have been significant is that, and again, we're having to draw this in, if they were, in fact, shepherds at the Tower of Migdal in Bethlehem, and the sheep they were keeping were actually sacrificial lambs, and it was lambing season where the newborn lambs would be. Of course, They had a different significance, didn't they, than just an ordinary shepherd. These priestly shepherds would have been out there taking care of these sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple. So he says, unto you is born, verse 11, this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get in a rut in your faith, in your Christianity? You ever just kind of get in a rut? Well, we go to church and we get up and we read our Bible and we say a prayer and, you know, we just kind of get in a routine and nothing changes much. There's nothing exciting that happens. We just, you know, we've fallen into this rhythm. By the way, it's the best rhythm to be in if you're going to be in rhythm. Be in rhythm with God and God's service and studying God's word and praying. But to actually have something significant, something outstanding, something unbelievable to happen in our lives. And that's what's happening here. These guys are, you know, they're just doing their job. And they, you know, they go to temple and they pray and they study and they talk about God and they try to live by the Ten Commandments and by the law and all those regular routine things of their faith. And they're out here keeping these sheep, and that's significant. And these sheep will be taken to the temple and they'll be sacrificed. And so God will extend his grace to Israel again for another year. Kind of God in routine. And maybe not even conscious, maybe not even mindful of the big plan. Maybe forgot. Remember, we looked at, they had forgotten that he was coming. You know, oh, well, there's a Savior. Oh, he may come sometime. You know, Jesus talked about his coming. He talked about how everybody would be kind of lulled to sleep. He said, be careful that you don't fall asleep. They might come in a third watch. You be careful that you're not forgetting that he's coming. What if he came tonight? Are we ready? What if he comes tomorrow? Are we ready? Are we knit with God at this point in our lives in such a closeness and a fellowship and an intimacy with God? And when we sing these songs, is there a leap in our heart? Is there something wonderful about God and about Jesus and about Christmas and about church? They said, this shall be a sign to you, verse 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Again, we've taken a lot into account here about the tower and about the lambs and about the swaddling of those lambs. Why? Because those lambs, if they're going to be sacrificed in the temple, have to be perfect. There can't be a blemish. There can't be a scratch or a scrape. There can't be a sore, a wound. And so these lambs are wrapped in a swaddling, in a protective cloth. And that's what they wrap Jesus in. And they laid him in a manger. A manger among the animals. Among the animals. There are several different accounts of what it would be like. If you go and you look into this, you research it, you'll find a couple of things. One, that sometimes a home would have a stable, you know, underneath on the first floor, and they would live on the second floor, or as a lean-to, there would be a stable there. And so he says there was no room for them in the inn, right? And so we know that the animals would be outside, and that's where the manger, the food trough, would be. And so were they outside and laid him in a manger? Again, if it was December, that wouldn't be very accommodating, would it? I think we're past that now. Maybe it was a cave, and I've been in a cave there in Bethlehem, and they said this is, you know, like what we would have had, and the animals are back here in the back. And what if you're in a cave, the most desirable place to be if you've got to sleep there is to sleep near the door, the mouth of the cave, because then you'd have the breeze and the fresh air. But the deeper you got into the cave, it was less desirable, especially once they got the animals over there in the corner. And so maybe it was that Jesus was in a cave in the shepherd's field and in the back. But either way, he was placed in a manger. That's what they had to put him in. Humble. Suddenly, verse 13, there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go let us now go even unto Bethlehem? There was an urgency. There was excitement. There was had been a heavenly celebration. Angels were there. The messenger of God, the angel of the Lord, and the heavenly host, and the praising God. And boy, they got all stirred up. And they wanted to go. They wanted to see this. Had they connected the dots to the prophecy? Did they connect it to understand the fullness of what was happening? I don't know. But if they were trained priests, if they were trained in the scripture, then they would have known the significance of their place being in Bethlehem. Because the Bible tells us where Jesus would be born, as he was. But they had an urgency and an excitement. They wanted to go. Let us go now, he says, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They wanted to see it with their own eyes. That was part of the instruction, if you recall. The angel said, this shall be a sign to you, you'll find. Well, in order to find, you got to go. In order to, for the sign, you got to see. So they understood that it was not just information, but was information for them to apply. And when we go to church, and even when we read the Bible in our personal study, it's important for us to apply that information. Not just, well, I believe it. Yeah, but practice it. Put it to work in your life. Again, if we will apply the Word of God, our lives will be better if we'll put it to practice. And so they went. Verse 16 says, they came with haste. They were in a hurry. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Again, why were they chosen? They were like the news. You know, now we have such access to information. But back then, if somebody comes into town, they were carrying information from the last town. They were talking about what happened in the place they were at last week. And these people who were in that village or in that town, they didn't travel all over the place. But when a stranger came to town or a shepherd came to town, they gave them the news. And these shepherds went about from Bethlehem as they traveled on their journeys through the pastures around the villages. Everywhere they went, they had something to tell, didn't they? Well, anything exciting happened, man, you won't believe what happened to us. We were out there in the middle of the night, and they tell the story. Man walks up, bright light behind them. You know, the angels singing and shouting and praising God, and they told us about the Savior being born, the Savior being born. And so we went and we saw, and there he was, lying in a manger, just like they said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like they said. Don't you know they were excited about it? Don't you know as they told the story, as the people heard it, they got excited about it? People were excited because this was different. This was something they'd been hoping for and waiting for, and they thought, it'll never happen in my lifetime. So what's wrong with people? We think things are going to continue as they are. And let me assure you, they are not. Things are changing. And the Lord is coming. They made it known abroad. The saying which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it, verse 18, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They made it known abroad. They carried the message with enthusiasm. But first, what did they have to do? They had to trust the message. I mean, the angel, the bright light, the heavenly host, they heard this. They didn't just say, well, I must have been hallucinating. Were you hallucinating too? Because they all saw it. They all heard the message. But we got to trust the message. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do we really believe that God could save me? Do I really believe that God could save you? I trust the message. Second thing, we got to carry the message with enthusiasm. Hey, God could save you. God will forgive your sin. God can change your life. Jesus can give you a new life. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Spend time with the Lord. And then the third thing they had to do is act on that message. They had to believe it, carry it with enthusiasm, and live it. They had to act on it. They said, unto you, we looked over that, didn't we? What did he say? He said, unto you. He didn't say, unto everybody. He said, unto you. Salvation is personal. Salvation is me dealing with God. Salvation is you dealing with God. No priest in the middle, no pastor in the middle, just you and God. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We're thankful not only for the message of Jesus and the birth, but of the characters, of the ones who were engaged and involved, and their faithfulness. We think about the wise men who saw the star and they traveled so far. They acted on what they believed, and they came to see the Savior. God, I pray that we will act on what we know, that we will go with enthusiasm, that we will share the message with enthusiasm, and that we'll trust the message. God, we love you. We trust you. We believe in your word, and we're thankful for our church. Give us grace as we leave this place. Bring us all back again. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.